This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
What a great day today is. What a great day today is. Maybe you're playing hooky from work or even from school. Maybe it's school and work. Maybe you're a teacher. I know all about that. I was a teacher in a former life. This day came and there were suddenly just substitutes in the building because teachers are like, yeah, I'm taking off. Going to watch the tournament, 12 noon. Suddenly there were doctor's appointments at like 11 a.m. everybody had to leave for. So I get it. I totally get it. I mean, let's just make it a national holiday, like TJ Reeves said. Maybe you're not into the NCAA tournament. I mean, how could you not be? I think it's lost a bit of luster with everything going on in, you know, college sports. But, man, this is like what all sports should be about, right? You put a big bracket together. You just have a big playoff and a tournament. It's what you do in the NBA. It's what you do in the NHL. It's a little bit different. The NFL, right? The difference is now it's 68 teams. I mean, there is a push to have every team in the tournament. It kind of is already. Every team kind of already is in the tournament because if you win your conference tournament, you get in. So you have a chance. But today's a big day. Today is the, and I will always call it first day, day one of the NCAA tournament. Now, I understand that it's not always called that. Did they go back to calling it that, though? They might have even called it, did they go back to finally calling it the first round? They should, because it's ridiculous not to call it the first round. That's what it is. We have games today in the tournament. What do we got here? All right. What time is this thing tipping off? 12:15 p.m., it looks like, is the first game of the day. And that is going to be Creighton against Louisville. That's at 12:15. So the way this works is they let you go for like a half hour, and then another game tips off. That's High Point against Purdue. And then there's nothing until 1:30. Montana against Wisconsin, and then 2 o'clock, and that hour into 3 o'clock, it starts to get going. SIU Edwardsville against Houston at 2, Alabama State Auburn at 2:50. Once we get into the 3 o'clock hour, we are ramping it up. McNeese State against Clemson, VCU BYU at 4:05, Georgia Gonzaga at 4:35. Then it's kind of a lull before the second sessions start on day number one. Some good matchups tonight as well. That's when St. John's is playing. That's when Michigan is playing. I know a lot of Michigan fans out there tonight. So it should be fun. And we have a second day of it tomorrow, right? You get all this today, then you get a lot more tomorrow. Tomorrow, here's the deal. Let me just do some, we're going to have some fun here in a little while, but let me kind of do some housekeeping here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Good morning. Glad to be with you today. Let's do some housekeeping here. Tomorrow, all of you, anybody listening, all of you are invited to join me for this show live at Whalen Brewing. Whalen Brewing is located at 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Great space. I have not been there. This will be my first time there. And everybody I've talked to said, oh my God, it is an amazing space. Can't wait to get there. Food, drinks. Yes, it's 10 a.m. You can show up, hang out with me. The games don't start until noon. That's fine. I'll stay for a little while watching some games. Come on by, listen, watch the Extra Point Show. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, you do your job, people just come and watch you do your job, right? And sit down and talk. That's what I'll be doing. But you can be involved. We're going to have you involved. And we're going to be giving away stuff. We got the WGR, some merch that's going to be there, some promotion stuff. So you can win some stuff, get some free stuff. WGR merch is going to be there. So if you like the tournament, you like free stuff, how about just great food, some great conversation, some drinks, and checking out a cool space at 3740 North Buffalo Street in Orchard Park. Tomorrow, Whalen Brewing. I will be there live on location, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. doing this show. And special guest. How about this? My buddy John Scott is going to be joining me at 11 a.m. tomorrow. He lives out that way. And I said, hey, I know you love the tournament. And I know you love to talk sports. And he's obviously WGRZ TV 2 Channel 2 sports director. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. and sit next to me and talk some sports. So come on out. Say hi to John. And let's have some fun. That's tomorrow. Today, we will talk with Paul Hamilton at 10:30 a.m. This is prior to the Sabres playing tonight at Utah. Puck drops at 9 p.m. The pregame show here on WGR at 8 p.m. And, of course, we'll have the game for you on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Did you see, Josh, Lindy Ruff have the guys take a lap around the Olympic speed skating rink?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was
great.
It's so funny to see. Some of them were doing like the speed skating like motion too.
Yep.
So
it was amazing.
It's just weird seeing that too, like the big oval.
Yeah, and I guess like every team kind of does it, but it's cool. You know, you get that experience. I mean, yeah, these guys, they go to a place too every once in a while. Like, wow, it's a very new concept, new place. I guess is that their practice facility? I'm unaware of how. Like how that works.
Is
that their
practice
facility for the Utah team or just a visiting team? Do you know how that works?
I'm not 100% sure yet. I know all the visiting teams have posted that video, so it might just be for the visiting team, but it might also be for Utah too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so that's tonight. At 11 a.m., we'll get with Thad Brown, WROC-TV, Rochester. So we'll check in with Thad on the Sabres, the Bills offseason, free agency, NFL draft coming up. And we'll check in on the Rochester Americans. They are having a nice season. And there's a lot of prospects, obviously, down in Rochester, including Devin Levi and some others, who a lot of you are probably very interested in. And, you know, we do this every year. How are the guys in Rochester look? Because this team's not making the playoffs here. So we'll get with Thad Brown at 11 a.m. We got a tournament today. So a couple things about the tournament. Some more housekeeping, all right? I have posted a tournament contest. A lot of people have these. Joe has one going to raise some money. Great cause. So get into as many as you can. The one that I've posted, you can find it at Sal Sports. It's at CBS Sports is where I've done it. It's free to enter, which is great. Everybody loves, you know, free to enter. And you can win stuff. Now, how about this, Josh? Right now, and you're allowed three entries, okay? For each person. So I've done, actually, I have an entry, my wife and my son. So my account, you could see, it's under Salvatore Capaccio. If you look, that's me. That's one. Number two is my wife. Number three is my son. I think that's how we did it. But either way, you're allowed three entries. At this current time, we have 595 participants. If we get five more, now I'm already giving away a prize here. But I'm going to tell you, because we're going to get five more, right? All I need you to do is go find it on at Sal Sports. Find the link on the Sal Sports Facebook page or the Twitter page, okay? Or you can go to CBS sports.com, type it in, you know, the tournament, go to the bracket pool, type in Sal Sports, that's the name of the pool. The password is Buffalo with a capital B. Password is Buffalo with a capital B. If we get five more, if we get to 600, here's your prize. First place, a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. I am serious about this. I want to see who knows their college hoops. Second place, a $50 gift card to the NCAA online shop. And third place, a $25 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Now, why am I giving away prizes? Because I just want to have fun with this and want you to enter and want to have a great time and talk about it on the Extra Point Show going forward. Because I'm gonna update the leaderboard as this thing goes forward and say, hey, congratulations, this person. That's what they have. Can they, you know, can they stay there? So, you know, maybe we'll have the winner call in if they want. But here you go. It's free to enter. Check it out. All we need is five more complete entries, and the winner will get. We're up to now. We need three more. Already, I just refreshed. We're at 597.
I'm currently filling out my bracket as we
speak. We got to get 600 complete brackets. Total brackets right now 597 in this particular pool. If we get to 600, which we will, the winner will get a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place gets a $50 gift card. Third place gets a $25 gift card, and that is all courtesy of me. The only thing I actually ask of everybody, I do ask you one thing. It's free. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel, at Sal Sports, because that's where you find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with me and Matt Bove and a whole lot of other content. So check out the Sal Sports YouTube channel. That's where you can find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And right now, at the YouTube channel, we have 11,798 subscribers. So maybe we can get to 12,000. I need 200 more subscribers. So that's all I'm asking for everybody. So there you go. You have a YouTube channel to subscribe to watch your Bills content. And why wouldn't you want to do that? And then you have a tournament form to fill out, brackets, entry, for free, that you can win a $100 gift card or a $50 gift card or a $25 gift card or just have some darn fun. Because we're going to do that. All right? So that's all I ask. So let's have some fun with it. Today's the day. And by the way, you got to be in by noon because that's when the games are starting. Maybe 12:15 they'll give you two, I guess. Okay, yeah. Brackets lock in 2 hours and 3 minutes. So 12:15. I'm looking at the CBS site right now. All right, we got some. And I guess you could name your bracket, but it really goes by names here. So hopefully you don't mind having your name on there because everybody's going to see all your names. Let's see. In the time that we've been talking, did we get to 600 here? Yes. 612. How about that? How many do you think we can get to? Can we get to 800? I'm going to be spending a lot more money here, aren't I? No, let's get as many as we can. Let's have some fun with this. We'll do it. It is tournament time. All right. It's not only, you know, tournament fun time as far as the games, but we can do some of our own games here. So every year I try to come up with something a bit, you know, fun on the radio on day number one, of the tournament. And last year we would do, remember we did Tournament Survivor last year? That was pretty fun, Josh. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Survivor.
We counted down or we went back
eliminated teams.
Yeah.
Based on whatever you wanted to eliminate. That was, maybe we got to the Sweet 16, we did that. All right. Here, I'm going to test you right now, Josh Schmidt, my producer, and everybody else listening out there, okay? Going to test you on some NCAA tournament team and school and mascot trivia. Okay, you ready? Can we do this?
I'm ready as I'll ever be, I guess. Let's see how we do.
Okay. Okay. I would say, okay, you know that there are obviously teams named Tigers. That's a very, very, I think Tigers might be the most popular college mascot in the country, okay? How many teams are named Tigers in this particular tournament, do you think?
Ooh. Okay. So we've got Memphis. We've got Clemson. No, wait. Clemson's got
yes.
The paw. Wait, Clemson, yes? Okay, all right. That's what I thought, but the paw print doesn't necessarily like look like a tiger paw print. It just looks like a paw print.
You got two of them.
There's two, yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of them. I know there's more because I've seen, like, clicking through brackets and stuff, I've seen, like, oh, like, there's a tiger. Like, that team I know is... I'm going to go with... Six. Let's go with six. I feel like that's low, though.
There are only four, believe it or not. I say only because Tiger is a very popular mascot name. The Auburn Tigers, the number one overall seed, by the way.
Oh, Auburn, yep.
Clemson Tigers, Memphis Tigers, and the Missouri Tigers.
Oh, Missouri. Yeah. Maybe I forgot about Missouri because in almost every bracket, I have them losing to Drake in the first round.
How many Cougars are there?
Let's go. Man, Cougars is a little tougher. Three?
You got it. Wow. You got it.
All right.
You could probably name a couple.
BYU.
Yep, is number one. One of them is a one seed.
One seed. Oh, yep. Houston. Houston, yep.
Houston. And then the other is SIU Edwardsville.
Oh.
They are also the Cougars.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
Okay. However, okay, we said four Tigers. Do you know what the most mascot there is in this tournament? What mascot is there the most of in this tournament?
Okay, wait, question.
You know, it's got to be more than four because there's four Tigers. It's not that.
Right. So, like, with Creighton and Louisville, they're both birds. Are we counting individual types?
No, I mean, I don't care. No, it's got to be the name, the actual name. I don't care, like, what family of species they're from.
I just saw those two teams, and I was like, wait a second. Let's just clarify there. Okay, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs, I think.
And you are going to be correct.
Yes. All right, let's go.
There are six Bulldogs. Can you name them?
Gonzaga, Georgia.
Gonzaga is one. By the way, it's Gonzaga.
Or Gonzaga, sorry.
That's okay. We call them the Zags, but it is, for everybody else out there, not trying to correct you specifically, it is Gonzaga, so everybody knows. It's Gonzaga, it's Georgia, yep.
Yep. Drake.
Yes, very good, Drake.
Wolford. Or no, that's the Terriers, sorry.
They're the Terriers, okay. I believe, yes.
Is Troy's not, no, right?
No.
No. Okay. Xavier. Xavier, that's one.
No. They're the Musketeers.
What? Oh, geez. I don't know why I thought of them as the Bulldogs. All right. I might be tapped out then. I don't know. I'm
okay. Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep.
Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Oh, okay.
How about your Ivy League champ, the Yale Bulldogs?
Yale. Right.
The Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
The Drake Bulldogs. And the hardest one of the group, the Bryant Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Bryant. Yep. It gets tough when you get to like the lower seeds too, just because they're like that just random teams that kind of show up, you know, like not to say Bryant just showed up, but Bryant Bulldogs, man.
There are two Aggies.
Oh, I know this one. Texas A&M and Utah State.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you, Mountain West,
Aggies,
for that one. I play a lot of Wyoming football on College Football 25, so I've faced the Utah State Aggies quite a bit.
Are there any Panthers?
I feel
Pitt
like...
Pitt is not in?
Yeah, Pitt's not there. I feel like there's one. I'm gonna say there's one, but I don't know who it is. I just have a feeling that there's one Panthers team, because that's also like a fairly common school nickname, I feel like.
I did this specifically because I wanted to give a shout out. There is one Panthers, the High Point Panthers. Excuse me, the High Point Panthers.
Yes, High Point.
And the reason is because I hope I say his name right, and I apologize if I don't. Noah Dybel. I don't know exactly how you say his name, but he is the director of basketball operations. He is from Akron High School, a graduate of Akron High School.
Awesome.
How about that?
Yeah, that's cool.
And this year, Akron actually won the sectional, so that's pretty cool. So we have a good Buffalo connection with High Point, the Panthers. Okay, you ready? We know that West Virginia is not in the tournament because they're actually like, they've like people suing from West Virginia, like the politicians suing the NCAA. Oh, you should have been in the tournament, whatever. Holy cow. We got better things to do in our lives. But it was a snub. They should have been there. They're not there. However, is there another Mountaineers or no?
Yes, there is. St. Mary's.
Who? Mount St. Mary's.
Mount St. Mary's. Sorry. Mount St. Mary's. I feel like everyone's been doing
that.
Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. I'm going to give you the name of a mascot. You tell me if this mascot is included in this year's tournament. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Salukis.
The Salukis.
Uh-huh.
I don't even like. No, I don't think. I feel like yes because of how random and obscure it is, but I don't even know what to think that would be. I'm gonna go yes. Sure, why not?
There are no Salukis, but Southern Illinois is the Salukis, and they did not make the tournament.
What is a Saluki?
What is a Saluki? I believe it's some sort of dog. Maybe it's like a. What is a Saluki? Hold on, I think it's a dog. Let me just check, make sure. Here, a Saluki is.
Oh, it's.
Can you look it up?
Yep, I see what type of dog it is. It's the I don't know how to describe it, but if you know it if you see it, kind of sort of dog. Like it, it's like a lankier
yes.
dog.
It is
tall
a
and skinny, a long fluffy tail.
The Saluki or Persian Hound is a standardized breed developed from sight hounds, dogs that hunt primarily by sight rather than strong scent. How about that? Okay. Are there any bulls in this tournament?
Bulls.
We know that the University of Buffalo Bulls are not in. Are there any other bulls in this tournament?
I'm going to have to say no.
That is correct. There are no bulls in this tournament. No bulls.
All right.
Is there a team called the Manta Rays?
Yes. No, there's not. UC San Diego is not. I thought for a second. They're the Tritons or something.
They're
something
the Tritons.
Like that. Yeah.
That was in one on my list here, so you got that. Is there a team called the Manta Rays?
The fact that you asked it again makes me want to say yes, but I'm going to stick with no.
The answer is no, and the reason I pulled that is because that is the nickname of Lemon Bay High School, where I used to coach in Florida. And I believe it's the only Manta Rays in the entire country for a high school mascot.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Hmm. Would have thought another coastal city would have that as their mascot.
Okay. Which school boasts the alumni of both Andy Reid and Ken Jennings? Ken Jennings is the guy in Jeopardy, right?
Yeah, the host, right? He was like the guy that
yes.
the best ever Jeopardy player or something like that?
Yeah. What school boasts alumni, both Andy Reid and Ken Jennings?
Hmm.
I mean, you should. I picked two different, like a football guy and an entertainment guy. So, you know.
With Ken Jennings is no help at all, but I'm really, like, frustrated that I can't think of where Andy Reid went to college.
Mm hmm. I don't know why you would know, but there is.
I don't know why I would know either, but just because the Chiefs are a part of our everyday lives here. So it's like.
Uh huh.
I'm just going to throw out a wild guess, and for some reason I want to say Illinois, but I don't think that's right.
It is BYU.
Really?
Andy Reid went to BYU.
Did he play football there, or did he just go there? He probably played football, right?
I don't know. I have to look. That's interesting. He did win. Go find yourself, ladies and gentlemen, go find yourself the video of Andy Reid winning the punt, pass, and kick competition as a youngster. He looks like he's about 18 compared to five-year-olds. It's amazing.
It looks like he did play football there. There's a picture of him. He was an offensive tackle.
There is a school here where the famous astronaut Neil Armstrong went and is an alum. Which school? I'll give you a hint.
You're getting me with all the alumni now. I don't.
Okay. Yep.
What's the
also hint? At this school? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Orville Redenbacher. You know who he is, right?
Yeah, the popcorn guy.
Yep. He also went to this school. So did comedian Jim Gaffigan. Famous basketball coach John Wooden. Lots of good alumni here.
Yeah.
And you ready? This is gonna give it away. Quarterback Drew Brees.
Oh, Purdue. All right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
There you go.
Huh. Wow. That's a lot of. I didn't realize Purdue had that many people there or had that many like famous alumni. Orville Redenbacher being one of them.
I know. You should get this just from the fact that you've seen him at games. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, Texas.
No doubt. You got that one.
Wait, Texas isn't in, though. Texas is no longer in.
Well, they made the tournament. That's correct. Sorry. You're right about that. You're right.
Sorry, I had to point that out there.
No, I like it.
I had to point that out there for Zach.
They're in the tournament, but yes.
Because, Zach's a big Texas fan.
I love it. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to give you another one here. Okay. Hold on. Looking at some. Okay. I'm looking at something that's not going to be too easy, but also not too hard. Oh, here. You should know this just. Okay, this is an interesting one. This school boasts alumni, including Madonna. Anything on that yet?
Maybe. Give me
and Adam Schefter.
Oh.
If you pay attention to this one close enough, you'll know it. And Tracy Wolfson. Oh. She's always tweeting about
him. Yeah, I know. Oh, man, Michigan.
Michigan!
Yeah,
I just saw
a video of her interviewing the Michigan coach the other day, and there it is.
I've kind of always been I guess it's a little bit of jealousy. Michigan, they have such a great, rich, sports history. Never been, too hardcore a Michigan fan. I'll root for him once in a while. I won't root for him sometimes. I'm kind of rooting for him now because I got a chance to actually, meet Dusty May last year when the Bills were in Pittsburgh to do the scrimmage, against the Steelers. And a bunch of the college basketball coaches were there because they were going to see Bruce Springsteen that night in Pittsburgh just randomly. And I got to meet Dusty May and hang out a little bit with him. He's a really fun guy. And that was pretty cool. And just kind of got to know him a little bit, what he's about. Now I'm kind of rooting for Michigan because of that. All right. What else you got? Well, yeah, anything? All right. So I think that's good. Can you name anybody who went to UC San Diego? Billy Bean. Billy Bean went to UC
really?
San Diego. Yeah.
Huh. Wow. I guess he is okay, I'll give you from one. California. That makes sense.
Okay. Actress Meryl Streep and CNN's Anderson Cooper both went to this school.
Oh. For some reason, I want to guess UCLA.
It is the Ivy League, Yale.
Oh, Yale. That was my second choice. I don't know why UCLA. I think just not that Anderson Cooper's in Hollywood, but just TV and all that stuff popped into my head and UCLA felt kind of the right choice, but Yale makes sense, too.
All right, good stuff today. Good stuff. Thank you very much for playing along. Again, go to the... Let's see. All right, we played so long that now we can actually take a look and see how many brackets we have here. Let's see how many brackets we have. I'm just going to update and refresh here. We are up to, ladies and gentlemen, in the Sal Sports Bracket Challenge at CBSSports.com, 690. I love it.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a
winner gets a $100 gift card.
30 minutes.
Yeah. It's amazing. Winner gets a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. Second place gets a $50 gift card. Third place, $25 gift card. It's free to enter. Just subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's all I ask. Trying to get to 12,000 there today as well. See, we all can all help each other, right? So that's all I ask. Great job today. Thank you very much. We had some fun with that. It's NCAA tournament day number one. It's also Sabres at Utah Hockey Club night tonight at 9 p.m. Paul Hamilton on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. You might not be familiar with that song, but that is the Iowa State Cyclones fight song. And we are going to bring on right now, speaking of alumni, the most famous alumni from Iowa State you could ever imagine, Paul Hamilton, on the Western Hotline. His Iowa State Cyclones having a nice year. I picked them to win a few games here, Paul. I think they could do some damage in the tournament. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, they were missing both their starting guards for the last game of the Big 12 tournament, and that basically is their best players who eat up most of their minutes. They're getting one back, but they're not getting the other. And he was the MVP of the Big 12 tournament last year. He was the MVP of the Maui tournament this year. So that's a big loss for them. But they have other good players. I mean, they have Curtis Jones, who used to play at UB, who was sixth man of the year, All-American this year. And, averages between 17 and 20 points per game. The guy can shoot it. To give you an idea, The last game against BYU, he, in 5 minutes of clock time, hit 22 points. That's how quickly he can heat up. when you got a guy that can shoot like that, you're in any game.
They take on Lipscomb. Josh, what is the Lipscomb mascot? Do you know?
I do not know that one, actually. Lipscomb is a college I had never heard of until we got to this.
It's in Nashville, Tennessee.
They're the Bisons.
Yeah, it's the Bisons. That's why I brought it up. They're the Bisons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The
yeah.
Lipscomb Bisons. That's right. They take on Paul's Iowa State Cyclones in day number one, our first round of the NCAA tournament. Paul joins us on the Western Hotline. Sabres in Utah tonight. And, of course, Paul's appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Well, it was kind of cool, Paul, yesterday seeing the videos of the guys skating around the speed skating oval in Utah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they were at the Olympic facility, which is right next to the hockey arena. So Lindy asked, goes, can we go? And he goes, yeah, go on out. So they took a few laps around there. Of course, Twitter guy is, how come they only skated one, thinking that was practice? And it's like, relax.
That's really funny.
They're having a few grins before practice. They went to the hockey rink and actually had practice. Yeah, they looked like they had some fun out there doing a little speed skating before they got to. I think Lindy actually did it too, because I was watching his interview online and he was all out of breath. He gave a time or something like that. So I think he might have taken a lap too.
Paul, yesterday, before we get to the Sabres, there was a lot of stuff from Gary Bettman at the NHLPA. He had a press conference or whatever event that was at that he was speaking. And he touched on a lot of things. One of them is he is not in favor of extending 3-on-3 OT, ice concerns and wear and tear and injuries for players. Do you think there's a sentiment around the league to go to more extended 3-on-3, or is that kind of the right play here as far as the players and the coaches and everybody else is concerned? And obviously we saw this in the Four Nations tournament.
We did, and I think that's where the momentum came from. But when you look at doing four, longer 3-on-3, now some of the players were okay with it that participated in it in the Four Nations. Nate MacKinnon was not one of them. And he wasn't looking forward to that. I think they were saying, look, we play enough as it is. 5 minutes is just fine. But I've seen other players say it's okay. If they do it, of course, it would have to be approved by the Players Association. And that's another thing Bettman talked about, that next week he's going to start, negotiation with the Players Union to get a new contract. And it seems like there's a little bit better labor peace in the NHL than they've had in the past. So I think there's a lot of optimism that they're going to be able to, come to a new collective bargaining agreement when this one expires and not have, a lot of disputes and that type of thing. But that would be something that would have to be approved. And Bettman just seems pretty staunch on that. When he digs in, and normally doesn't change his mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. Speaking of rules, the NFL, they have their rules proposals, and that just came out. We'll get to that in the next hour. That's going to happen at the owners' meetings. But generally, a lot of times, you'll get some stuff from the NHL. Nothing on that table, nothing on that front. He said, no rules changes proposed at these GM meetings. Are you surprised about that? It sounds like everything's kind of kosher. We could think of things, getting rid of the challenges, stuff like that. The fans might want stuff, but apparently the league said, hey, we're all good.
Yeah, they always say we're all good. You talk about challenges, and now they're talking about, well, Ovechkin's goal, and what if there's a challenge? And
yeah,
they're talking about that's a nightmare if that were to happen. They're basically putting down their own rules. Oh, we hope that doesn't happen, and the whole thing, basically admitting that. We don't want a key goal like that or a game seven. They talked about game seven, that we sit there on pins and needles the whole game hoping that we don't get an overtime goal challenged in game seven. Oh, you mean like the Ingecrease goal for the Sabres and the Stars, the one that didn't get reviewed? That one, okay. It's just a goofy league.
Next year, the All-Star game is going to be the Islanders are going to host it. But on the heels of what we just saw with the Four Nations, compared to what we've seen from the All-Star game, we all know the Four Nations is way better. But you also have Olympics going on next year. This is a tough needle to thread here, Paul. And there was a lot of talk about how to do that. They don't really know. He said, according to Elliot Friedman, how can they turn that presence into a good showcase? Because it's not really going to be, knowing that the Olympics are right after that as well. I mean, what's the solution here? What do you think they'll do? Anything that you think that the league should move to, and how to do all this?
I think it's goofy that they're having an All-Star game the same year as the Olympics. I don't really see the need for it, and I don't think the players would much care about it. The game is a joke. That's as many All-Star games are. The only one that is fairly competitive is baseball's All-Star game. But the NBA, what do they get? Almost 200 points now, you know, and the NHL is just basically a breakaway contest. And it's just, I don't know what they can do with it other than get rid of it, because I don't really like what the NFL does. At least they don't have that sham game they used to anymore, where the linemen would just stand up and look at each other, not even touch each other on every play. And, you know, that turned into a touch football game anyway. So I really, other than just, you know, giving players the honor of making the All-Star team and doing that, I mean, you can do the skills competition if you want. Yep. You know, they have the speed scanning and the shooting, and the fans seem to get into that. But as far as actually playing a game, I don't see the need for it.
I have an idea. Let's do this. Okay, do the skills competition. Because they have to travel, according to Bettman, players have to be there because they will travel to the Olympics from New York City right after that. Okay, if you're getting all the Olympians there, hold a big open practice. You know what I mean? Like, okay, and have some scrimmaging going on, right? They got to practice anyway. They got to go to the Olympics. Anyway, this is just Sal Capaccio's idea. I mean, you know, instead of having a sham game, like you said, if the players are going to be there, the Olympians are going to be there, you could do a skills competition. You can hold an open practice people can go to, watch all the Olympians and however that's going to work. And then, you know, get everybody over to do maybe a scrimmage or two and then get them over to the Olympics. So, you know, we'll see what they do. Football went through this too, Paul.
Remember when you were a kid and the Sabres had open practices?
Oh, my God.
All the time?
You used to love going to that.
I know. And it was like sold out. It was a full building for it.
Yep.
I mean, the kids and the families loved it.
For sure. That's what I was thinking, too. I think you would get something like that here in this situation. Okay. I think that's it for league stuff I wanted to go over. What about the Sabres tonight? Where are we with injuries with this team right now, Paul?
Well, watching Lindy yesterday, he talked about Paterka. It sounds like he'll play today. Norris isn't with the team. He's with the team, but not with the team on the ice. He's hoping to get him. Maybe you'll see him on a morning skate now with them practicing yesterday. I'm sure today's morning skate is probably optional, but he might be out there. He was talking about him getting back on the ice later in the week. Now, does that mean get back on the ice and he has a possibility to either play in Minnesota on Saturday or Winnipeg on Sunday? Or are you looking at getting him back for the home game? So he's with the team and they very close, but Lindy's kind of saying the same things he said with Zucker, you know, like, well, it's not going as quickly as we'd like type of a comment. And Kulik is in concussion protocol, so he's not even with the team.
They've managed to be a little bit better on the power play lately, Paul. Why is that?
Yeah, it's has some different ingredients into it because you had three offensive players out of the lineup in Norris, Kulik, and Paterka. So those are three power play players right there on your two units. Mm-hmm. Peyton Krebs has gotten an opportunity on the second unit and scored, got himself open in the slot, and actually took a pretty nice shot. And you say to yourself, well, why do you pass all the time? Why don't you shoot every now and then when you see a shot like that and a goal like that? And I've liked Ryan McLeod, and for a couple of reasons. I know there's that group out there who say faceoffs don't matter. But when you're on a power play and lose the faceoff all the time, as the Sabres normally do, the other team gets the puck down the ice. It goes, you just lost 30 seconds of your power play. And you have mm-hmm. to get back into the zone again, which sometimes for the Sabres is challenging. They have trouble with their entries sometimes. But McLeod has been winning some draws for him. Now they get puck possession in the zone immediately, which I think helps. Now you can get set up quickly. And, you know, he made that nice, remember against Vegas on the power play, it was McLeod who went behind the net and really pressured Pietrangelo to make that pass up the middle that Zucker intercepted and scored on the power play. That was all McLeod, using his speed to pressure the defenseman to make a bad play. I'm noticing, too, recently, I don't think they competed hard enough on the power play, and I noticed they're winning some battles. Mm-hmm. That 4-on-3 power play in overtime, I think they won every single battle. Now, it took them the whole power play to score, but really, they only got out of the zone once, and Buffalo got right back in the zone again, but that's the problem. If you're not going to win battles and you're not going to win faceoffs, you're going to get one shot and done, and then the other team's going to get it out. So, those, you know, if you're more willing to get into the battle, win the battle, and get some motion in your power play, which they've done too, you always can't count on Tage Thompson at left circle anymore. He scored from the right circle. He scored from the point. He starts moving, and now the other team has to find him. And that now turns the penalty kill into chaos. And that's what they're trying to do. If you have zone time, if you win the draw and you have a lot of zone time, now the other team can't change their penalty killers. When it's one and done, they can change their penalty killers and get fresh guys out there. Lindy Ruff's talked about what happens when they can't change their penalty killers. You get guys who are tired. What happens with guys who are tired? They make mental mistakes. And then you've got them. So those are the types of things they're shooting for and maybe are a little bit better for them.
Just to give perspective for everybody, Sabres are basically have been right around 16, 17% for a lot of the year on the power play. Five of their last 19, 26%. I mean, that's a nice jump, but we'll see if it can be sustained. The Sabres have about, 14, 15 games left here, Paul. What do you think the objective is of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff over this stretch? They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, mathematically, they're still alive, of course. You want to win every game and give yourself a chance. But what is the overall objective, you think, of this front office and this coaching staff between now and when the season ends?
Well, to get some consistent hockey finally going, finish up strong, finish up showing that maybe you can play Lindy Ruff's style of hockey on a consistent basis. You have won 3 out of 4 games. You had to work hard for all 3 wins. They were close games, shootouts, overtime, right down to the end. And you had to gut it out to win a hockey game. And you beat 2 very good teams in the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. Right now Vegas, is right near the top. As I look right now, they're 4th in points percentage. And the Edmonton Oilers are 9th. So you beat 2 very good teams there. And I think that's what they're looking for now. Find a little bit of consistency. Get yourself ahead of the Flyers. Get yourself ahead of the Kraken. Get yourself ahead of the Penguins. When I'm looking at points percentages right now, and they're right there with those teams, instead of being in 4th last place, show Adams and show Lindy Ruff that you want to play the style they want. And I think that's the problem all year long, is the inconsistency of the play that we've seen has just dumped them into the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. Sabres' first trip to Utah. Huh? I mean, by the way, I saw that they have a name submitted, but we don't know what it is. Is that the case?
Yes, that's what they said. I don't know if they're just going to stay with the hockey club, if that's what they want to do, or, what they may do. But, yes, they do have it down. They just haven't said what those options will be.
All right, Paul. Well, we will be watching for your reports tonight. Of course, PHAM1717 on social media. Good luck to your Iowa State Cyclones this basketball tournament, of course, and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks a lot, buddy.
I even watched the women yesterday. They were in the 11th seed game against Princeton, and they got behind and came back and won that. So now they get tomorrow to play number 6 Michigan. So they're even alive.
There you go. I love it. Good times are rolling with Iowa State basketball on both the men and the women's side. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there. All right, so someone just tweeted at me and said, Sal, I looked at the list of names of people in your bracket pool to see if someone knew, someone I knew was also participating. And someone entered under the name Stefan Diggs. Maybe it's him. Maybe Stefan Diggs is in my bracket pool. I mean, he's on his way to New England, right? That was the report. He's going to visit the Patriots. Maybe he's like, yeah, on the way there, I'm just going to enter Sal's bracket pool here. Hey, why not? Might want to win. He might want to win a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop. By the way, for anybody entering my bracket pool, you need to know how the scoring works, right? So I'm going to tell you how the scoring works. Because last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, I think it might have been 2 years ago, but we went through this, maybe it was last year too, and I explained how the scoring works and where it comes from. And it was a great education because I did not know anything about this until I learned it as well, and I reward upsets. So I need to tell you about that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You want to be educated? You're about to be after this timeout on WGR.
The
Extra Point Show coming up live from the Just Call Jed studios. Injured? Best results? Happy clients? Call Jed now, 839-3939 or calljed.com.
All right, so I've searched high and low for the best way to score an NCAA tournament pool. Like, I've always thought it's just, I've looked at ways people have done it and thought, okay, yeah, that's better than this one. That's not as good as this one. I don't know, Josh. There's no perfect way. But first of all, I think you should reward upsets. If somebody's just going to pick chalk and they wind up, you know, you getting to the end and you give all these points for when picking the champion, what fun is that? Reward upsets. That's what the tournament's about. It's about upsets, right? So reward upsets. So I always like when there's a scoring system that rewards upsets in some way, shape, or form. Early upsets especially. Pick a 13 to win over a 4. Pick a 12 over a 5. You get it, you're right, bam, I get more points that way. So what I've done in my tournament is I've literally rewarded upsets simply by you pick that team, you get that many points. So if you're entering my pool, which by the way, CBS Sports, check it out, Sal Sports on Twitter, you got an hour left. You can adjust here if you want. If you're entering my pool, you get the number of points for every seed you pick that wins. If you pick a 1 seed, they win, you get 1 point every time. You pick a 5 seed, they win, you get 5 points every time they win. If you pick a 12, a 13, you get 12 or 13 points every time they win. But of course, you have been advancing on, you know, there's less chance you're going to win with that team because that's why they're the lower seed. You also have, and I have to reward by round, what I've done is I hate when it's like, oh, you get 25 points for the champion, but only, you know, 15 points to get there or whatever. I don't know. What's called the Fibonacci sequence. Have we ever had this discussion before? Have you learned what the Fibonacci sequence is?
I think we might have last year, but I don't remember, so refresh me.
Okay, I actually did a search and said, what's the best way? And a lot of them came up with, use the Fibonacci sequence. So the Fibonacci sequence in math, okay, is a sequence in which every number, the number that precedes it, the next one adds up. So here's what I mean. If you have two numbers, it's that number plus the next one equals the next one. So the way it goes is you get 1 point for first round, then 2 points. Well, what's 1 plus 2? The next round is worth 3. What's 2 plus 3? 5. What's 3 plus 5? 8. Does that make sense? So you're adding the previous two round numbers together to get the next round what it's worth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
Okay, so the reason is because you only get to 13 on this by picking a champion. We're not rewarding with all these major amount of points that only the champion matters. So you get rewarded for upsets, a point per seed that wins, and it's the Fibonacci sequence, which is 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. That's it. You win the first round, you get 1 point. Second round winners all get 2 plus the seed. Next round, 3. Plus the seed, then 5 plus the seed, 8 plus the seed, 13 for the champion plus the seed. It's the each of two rounds added up get to the next round number of points. I hope that makes sense. Hope to educate you there because I had to be educated on that. I didn't know what it even meant. But then again, I'm a drummer and I should know because apparently this is used a lot in drumming. And I can actually read, I guess in air quotes, drum music because it's not like piano and like A's and B's or, you know, all the letters, but drum music is actually notes. And you have things called flams and different kinds of things. And I can read that, but I'd never even heard of the Fibonacci sequence, even as a drummer growing up. But apparently a lot of music and drumming is based on the Fibonacci sequence, which is really cool. That's why I thought this was really cool and fit me and the scoring as well. We'll take a timeout. Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester. Check out what he has for the NCAA tournament. Check in on the Bills offseason from his perspective and what's going on with the Amherst as they start to wind down their season and look towards the playoffs as well.